Let's talk to God. Father, we're grateful that when we talk to you that you hear us. Thank you so much for the joy of living. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, for just being alive. Thank you for having the presence of mind to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his finished work on Calvary. We're thankful that our names are written in the guest book of heaven. Lord, forgive us of our sins that we've committed by thought or deed. Cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Make us fit vessels to receive what you have now. We ask all of this now in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, Faith Fellowship. I'd like to read in your hearing Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want to preach for a few moments from the theme, Christ, our only hope. Christ, our only hope. This is a good time to be a Christian. I can tell from your looks, you say he must not be living in the world I'm living in. I mean, if you look at a little bit of anything, you see that I might have some issues. This is going to be a hard pull, but the fact of the matter is, I'm not saying it's easy to be a Christian, but what I'm saying is that this is a good time to know for sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Because when you look at what we are dealing with culturally, socially, politically, it's good news to know that your name is written in the guest book of heaven, that you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. We ought to be the happiest folk around because we have been redeemed. We have been called out from among them. And that comes with some responsibility. Yes, it does. You and I are to be light in a dark world. When they see us, they are to know that when this person shows up, there's something about them. I can't put my hand on it, but I've observed them, I've watched them, I've listened to them. They don't seem to take their cues from the world. They behave differently. They seem to be salt in the earth. They seem to want to preserve. They seem to give me a thirst for wanting to know more. The Lord has given you and I a mandate. And he does not want you and I to, what's the word I'm looking for? To be those who follow the culture. In fact, he wants us to walk contrary to the ways of the world. Even as it relates to Christmas, I don't know about you, but have you heard this season's greetings? Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Winter Wonderland. You hear all kinds of stuff other than Merry Christmas. Well, I'm a radical at heart, so I got up, set the apple cart, and I'm saying Merry Christmas. Amen. Yeah, I'm that one. Yeah, I'm that one who's going to say Merry Christmas and dare you to say something. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be rude, nasty, or indifferent. But if you're going to fight for what you believe, guess what? I'm going to fight also for what I believe. And that is the challenge of Christendom. We have become quiet and we let folk handle us any kind of way. But the devil is a liar. If you're going to force me to do your mess, guess what? I'm going to push back. God's been too good for too long for me to act like I don't know him and that he has not blessed me. So here, in this text, we can learn something about hope that we find in Christ Jesus. 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah gives this prophecy, and he makes it known to the listener. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. He was letting them know that the promised Messiah is on the way. It's not going to happen right now, but 700 years later, Christ would be born just as the scriptures said. Let me pause there and put a pin, because you and I can stake our life on what the Word of God says. The Word of God is true. I can't get this nowhere else. So I have to absorb it, listen to it, ingest it, because it is the Word of God, the inerrant scripture. God breathed. He's saying, listen, therefore, the Lord himself. Our sister mentioned it earlier. Christ is our only hope because our hope is rooted in a God that takes actions. He will meet you in your despair with hope. He will meet us in our pain with hope. He will meet us in our frustration with hope. Whatever you are facing, our God is big enough to meet us with hope. And our hope is not like the world's hope. I hope the Ravens win. I hope it, no. Our hope is in the Word of God. What the scriptures say, our hope is in him. In him we live, move, and have our being. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. This is it. My hope is in him. Amen. Not my job, not my career, not my wife, not my children, not the government. Him. On Christ. And see, what I like is that it says the Lord himself. That means he did not want to trust this to anybody else. That you and I are that precious and that valuable that I don't want anyone else handling this, because they are special. They're mine. So I'm going to, as daddy, as papa, make sure that I myself send the promised Christ child. Isn't that something? You are that important to him that he wanted us to know that the Lord himself. You don't see that phrase too many other times. You see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You've heard it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But he says it one other place. He also says it in Exodus chapter 14, 16. The Lord himself will fight for you. That ought to make a difference in how we face every day, knowing that the Lord himself is going to be with me. And to be honest with you, it's only by the grace of God. What he is telling us is that my grace is such that I see you in this putrid, miserable condition, and I myself am going to come to your rescue. Aren't you glad that God's grace, hallelujah, is smiling upon us right now? The grace of God. Isn't that something? His grace says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, watch this, but the world through him might be saved. God's grace. And then in Ephesians, he says, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God did not give us what we deserved, justice. Yeah, because we deserve death, hell, and the grave. But grace showed up and said, not so, hold up. God's got a plan. So you need to get to stepping. Because I'm his child, I'm his redeemed. In the midst of life's storms, when I fall, when I fail, the Lord himself comes to encourage me. I hear him saying, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins and your transgressions. If he would have said, as far as the north is from the south, we would have had a problem. But as far as the east is from the west, they will never meet. Hallelujah. See, y'all must have do nothing. I done did some mess. And I'm glad the north don't meet the south, but I'm glad as far as the east is from the west. Never meets. Our hope is found in a God who took action and sent the Christ child 700 years later. But God's word can be trusted. God's word is true. So how should we respond to a God that takes action? We'll start here. Begin by accepting him as Lord and Savior of your life. Begin by surrendering your life unto him. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's plan, it's his desire that you become part of his family. You don't have to go to hell. I'm going there. You don't have to go. You can have eternity with Christ. I know that makes some folks upset when you talk like that. It's not user-friendly. It's very harsh. It's hard. Listen, I don't want to see nobody go to hell. I was sharing with the brothers yesterday. I said, you know, you don't hear much about hell no more. You don't hear much about fear of the Lord. We've become so user-friendly. We want a gospel that don't offend nobody. Well, I'm the wrong Negro today because I'm the one who's going to offend. I'm going to say what thus saith the Lord. And I may be conversation at dinner, but that's okay. At least I know you're on your way to heaven anyhow. It's important. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Beloved, you can be saved today. I don't make assumptions no more that just because you hear, meaning you saved. I used to think that, but no. Just because you're sitting here and hearing the gospel does not mean you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It just simply means you carved out a slice of your day to come and listen to the word of God and fellowship. But you can leave here and go straight to hell because you never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got to know them. Remember in Luke chapter 15, the woman had 10 coins and she lost one? Remember, it was in the house but lost. And don't you know that there's some folks in the house but lost? Don't know them. Let me move. So here we have Christ himself making sure that he's going to fulfill the prophecy and send the promised Messiah 700 years later. Then the second thing is this. Christ is our only hope because our hope is in the gift of his Son. He's the gift. Jesus Christ is the gift. How sad it is to have a gift and you don't open it. That happened to you. You get something and you lay it down and you find it 2 months later. The person may have asked you, how you like my gift? Oh, sugar's fine, thank you. You don't even know what it is. You didn't open it. And here it is, something you can use, something that you needed, and you done had it for 2 months, and then you finally decide to open and say, oh, Lord, if I knew that, I would have used this thing 10 weeks ago. Don't make the mistake and not unwrap the gift of Jesus. Life can get so busy that you really go through the routine of church. You've become used to the salvation thing by now. You know all the church lingo, you know the songs, you know what to do, but somehow there's something missing. Well, maybe it's time to get reacquainted with the gift, Jesus. I know you got a high power job. I know you're important. I know you're bright. I know you got it going on. I know you can process things. You got a bright future. But in the scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. He said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth me, the Lord thy God. That's what you want. Because all of that other stuff is not going to matter when I stand before him and give an account for what I've done. He wants to know, what did you do with my son, Jesus? So here he's saying that the promised child is Christ, the one who will be conceived. And it says, she will bear a son. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. God sent his son, perfect sacrifice, to die for your sins and mine. And we can enjoy the gift right now. We can enjoy the gift of his love, the gift of his grace, the gift of his mercy, the gift of his peace, the gift of his presence is all available for us right now. The gift is available. I like the way Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9:15. He says, but thanks be to God, I love this, for his indescribable gift. Paul's a brilliant man now. He done wrote over two-thirds of it. He wrote most of the New Testament. And for him, a wordsmith, to say indescribable, he must was overcome at that moment with something that just, what was happening is the church of Corinth was giving money to the church of Jerusalem. They were helping them out, basically. So he moves from man's gift, and then he shifts to God's gift of his son. And he said, he is indescribable. Have you ever had a gift that you could not begin to describe? I mean, maybe for a day or two, then you come to yourself and you can, but I got the impression that he said, it's like, no, it's like, no, no, it's, Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the best he could come up with. I don't know if he was dealing with the whole idea of the attributes of God. Maybe that overwhelmed him. Then maybe he said, well, man, God sent his son, his only son, heaven's best, to die for a sinful mankind and to redeem them. God, thank you for your indescribable gift. How do you describe Jesus? People want to know. Beloved folk you work with in your family, on the way to hell in the fast lane, enjoying the trip. What do you tell them? Scripture we read earlier. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you of the hope that is within you. What do you say? Remember we salt. Remember we light. He has us here for a purpose. Begin by what you know. Ain't got to be deep. We make this thing so hard. You know what I know? Like you know, that he's been good. That he has allowed his grace to smile upon me. That he has been better to me than I could ever be to myself. That he has blessed me with things I have no business having. I thank him for some stuff that didn't happen. The diagnosis from the doctor could have been different. My child could have been in lockup or MCIW, the Maryland Correctional Institute for Women. Things could have been so much different. So just begin with what you know about him and how he has worked in your life. You don't have to be an undercover Christian. Just a thank you, Lord. I know I got this job, and there were 20 people more qualified than me. I ain't got no business having it. And then that, you kept me there. You helped me make right decisions. You kept the hellhounds off of me. Some people were digging traps. They fell in them. See, so that's what he must have went up against when he said indescribable. He must have just started looking back at his own life, knowing how he was a hitman killing Christians and how God saved him and now using him as a gospel preacher. You got some indescribable in you. You know some stuff. Woo, between me, you, and the gateposts. Nobody but Jesus. So what should we do? How should we respond to this? Well, begin by worshiping God. That's how I respond to the indescribable gift of his son. It forces me, even with I don't feel like it, to praise him and to worship him, to adore him, to magnify him, to lift him up, to not be afraid to stand and not be afraid to open my mouth and not be afraid to clap, not be afraid to pray, to do whatever you want me to do, because after all, you sent me heaven's best in the person of your son, Jesus Christ, and the least I can do is worship and praise you for who you are and what you're doing in my life. Praise him and worship him. Third thing, Christ is our only hope because our hope rests in a God that's always with us. He's always with us. He said, lo, I'm with you always. In Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither depth nor light, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is always with us. Emmanuel, God with us. By way of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that leads us, guides us, convicts us of our sins, and helps us understand the gospel, the truth. When I mess up, he's with me. When I do right, he's with me. When I'm up, he's with me. When I'm down, he's with me. Whatever I face, I can face it in the blessed assurance, knowing that God is with me. Isaiah 40:28, he says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall." But then here it is. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." My strength is renewed because he is with me. And sometimes, beloved, we don't act like it. We dishonor him when we act like we don't have the strength to deal with whatever it is we're going through. The devil is a liar because Christ has empowered us by way of the Holy Spirit to be able to handle it. Disappoint the devil. Pick the wrong day, buddy. I'm girded up. Go somebody else. We got to have that kind of posture and talk back to him like that. There's a verse that I love. It's in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. It says, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope." That thing messes me up every time I read it. I done worked in a prison, y'all, for 12 years, so I know what prisoners do. I know their prison life. That word in the original means, that word prisoner, someone who is bound with cords. My God, you see what he's saying? He said, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners, those of you who are bound, tied up to, harnessed to hope." Are you not feeling me? Whatever you face, and realize that you are tied up, bound, and harnessed to hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I look things differently because I'm bound, tied up to hope. That ought to change, beloved, how I think, how I feel, and how I behave because of who I am tied up with: hope, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all working on my behalf. You got all that going for you. Moment by moment. So, as I prepare to take my seat, God with us, Emmanuel. Paul knew something about being a prisoner of hope. He said, "I'm troubled on every side, but not distressed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm a prisoner of hope. I know how things look, but I'm not out of it yet." Even Jesus Christ knew something about being a prisoner of hope. They hung him high and stretched him wide. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Prisoner of hope. "Truly I say unto you, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Prisoner of hope. He commended his mother to John. He said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." He said, "I thirst." He said, "It is finished." And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Jesus knew something about being a prisoner of hope. When Emmanuel, God with you, we can move daily, moment by moment, as prisoners of hope. Father, we do bless your name. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his finished work on Calvary. And Lord, I pray that we may come to a place where we understand and realize that you are our only hope. Our only hope is found in you. So Lord, I pray that we might learn to move with boldness, that we would be unafraid for those things that come our way because we know that you are with us, that your Holy Spirit indwells us and empowers us. And we're grateful that if God be for us, it's more than a whole world against us. We pray for that person here today who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin. Lord, we pray that this might be a day of decision, that they would confess their life to you and recognize that you meet them at the point of their pain, their brokenness. We love you, Lord. And we ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.